950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt Hunter here, a tale of two different weekends. Hunter, I'll start off with the more positive side of the weekend here. My weekend included the hibiscuses are blossoming over at the Arboretum. Magnificent color. Just magnificent color. And they got these, if you know where to take your picture, you can get like pine trees behind it. Just so, such a Minnesota thing. Just gorgeous. Went up there. Also made strawberry rhubarb pie. Now, here's where I'm a little upset about some things. First of all, my rhubarb in my backyard did not come in as well as usual, so henceforth I did not have enough rhubarb. I like a tangy strawberry rhubarb pie. I like some zip to it, and I didn't have nearly the zip. That, and also there's a certain grocery store that is in town here that as Terry Zila, our food guy who comes on occasionally with us, he has said, if you're not eating the fruit while you're in the parking lot driving home, it's going to go bad. Thanks. Bought those strawberries 3 days later. Half of them were bad. So I didn't have time to go out and get any more. So it was a kind of a week filling. Not a lot in there.
Uh-huh.
But it was – it's June, man. It's June in Minnesota. Strawberry rhubarb, hibiscus. I spent a good chunk of my weekend at a soccer field watching kids play soccer. I got burned. I was exhausted, sun sickness. But, hey, that's the positive side. Okay, what happened to your karma?
My car got stolen yesterday. I've owned this car for less than a week.
I blame a Dyna guy. How dare you, McNeil? I would never drive the flea bag of a vehicle that man has. My God, what is that? Is some sort of horse and mule cart system? My God, I would never be seen near that. So apparently it wasn't a Dyna guy. Where were you at in Minneapolis? Give me a cross street.
40th Street and 15th Avenue.
Well, that's not that bad.
It's not at all. What? Yeah, and it was was at noon yesterday, middle of the day, tons of people outside and on patios. Someone had the guts to do it. The problem is I accidentally left the keys because I went to my friend's apartment. He doesn't have a buzzer, so I went to his door. He didn't answer. I had my keys at this time. I went back to my car to wait, and then he started yelling at me from his balcony, and I got confused. He threw me his keys, and I didn't go back to the car and grab mine. I was inside there for like 20 minutes, and the car got stolen.
You pulled a Seinfeld. That great episode of Seinfeld where the body odor in the car, he basically leaves it running with the doors open in the middle of a New York street, inviting people to take it. the good news is they found it.
They found it this morning.
Where is it? Is it now? Let me. Okay. Better question yet. What body of water are we talking here? Mississippi River, Bede Makiska. Where is it parked right now?
It is at the Minneapolis impound lot.
Do you know where they found it?
They found it at, what's it called? A park right nearby. Sibley Park. Sibley Park.
He found it in the driveway of Nelson Cruz. What? The twins? No. He found it at Sibley Park.
Yeah.
So someone went and took your car. They stole your car so they could enjoy a beautiful picnic lunch yesterday.
I guess.
Do they live in the park? I mean, how did they get home without the stolen car?
I have no idea. They didn't find the person who did it. They just found the car there.
Is there a woodsman that lives in Sibley Park that we should know about? Is there a log cabin with smoke coming out? But with a guy who's apparently, as a woodsman, very crafty at high water. Well, he doesn't have a high water car. He had the keys. Are all the keys there? Do you know?
No, the keys aren't there. So I have to call a locksmith to get the car going again.
Who's at your house right now?
At my house?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, is the burglar there? Do your keys say your address on them?
They don't have the house keys on that set. So.
All right. There are no house keys on that set. Well, what key are they? Is it the station keys? Oh, that's so cool. Can we have someone in here right now?
That was on there. There's
okay. Note to self. There is a security code you have to punch in to get in here. I personally wouldn't go with 1, 2, 3, 4, but still, I mean, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. That being said, no. What do you? Some idiot's going to come and push 1, 2, 3, 4 on the thing.
Good. We'll find who this was.
Aha! Master criminal, I don't think so.
So when I realized that the car wasn't where I parked it, I started panicking.
Yeah.
I called 911, and then they did the search if it was towed or impounded, and it wasn't. And so they reported it as stolen and sent an officer. It took 4 hours for someone to show up.
It is the city of Minneapolis.
4 hours for a stolen car? I mean, those are the prime time to find it right afterwards. And
well, they found it over at Sibley. I mean, let's be – to be give credit where credit's due. The police did find this thing fairly quickly.
Credit where credit's due. The officers who showed up were very nice and helpful, and I felt – much better.
You
wouldn't
badmouth the police officers anymore before we get into the show.
No, 4 hours. That was crazy.
I actually have had a friend who reported an assault. Mm-hmm. And it took him 2 hours to get there. And so, you know, and someone was bleeding. They said, was anyone injured? He said, yeah. So, well, we'll get there. Ambulance had come and gone by the time the police finally got there to take the report. Wow. And so, you know, it was, they are overwhelmed
They're overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear this. I'm glad your car's back. I'm sorry I took it. I mean, nothing. I have no idea. No, that jingling in my pocket's not your keys. I'm sorry. That's a horrible way to start off your month of June.
Oh, it was horrible.
No, I'm sorry.
But great to find out it's back and okay, and I'm going to get it because I was panicked what I was going to do with the car I just bought stolen.
Did you have, like, is there anything in the car that you would not want to have stolen from you?
Like, yes.
It's okay. Hopefully they didn't clean it out then.
They probably did.
The seat is gone. You have to sit in the back seat and dry from there.
I made peace with anything gone in there just by the fact that I'm getting it back.
All right. Well. Oh, yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I feel bad, man. I do. I you know, because I know that it was – you were sick last week too.
Yeah. It was a rough week.
Maybe we should start a hug line or something like that. People want to come – you want to come give Hunter a hug? You just – you know, well, I better not do that. I mean if you have the keys to the station, we'd sure hate it if you stopped on by right now. 952-946-6205. Let's do this little bit of breaking. We can play this when we want to, right?
Yes.
All right. Let me run through this. Minnesota DFL party. This was just a few hours ago. Put out a video and an audio obtained by the DFL. GOP Senator Karen Housley claimed that Alex Smith – now, if you don't remember, Alex Smith was the individual where the emergency insulin bill was named after him, correct?
Yes.
Right. And what – reminder – just a reminder of the cold, heartless bastards that are the Republicans in this state, okay? The bill, which was bipartisan, the Democrats thought, okay, this is guaranteed in the bill. The Republicans, when it wasn't on the Democrats' spreadsheet, because apparently the Democrats thought that it was already a given, it would be on there, gleefully omitted emergency insulin. And once again, the reason why we need this is because insulin, because the drug company executives are jackasses, have jacked up the price of insulin to the point where it's so expensive that many people can't afford insulin anymore. Something that used to be relatively inexpensive, but because drug company executives want that 17th vacation home, want another jet ski, they have jacked the prices up. And so we as a state had said, okay, even though that we, you know, I know Republicans are very reluctant to take on the drug company executive salary because they're begging that same drug company executive for a campaign donation. The reality is that we came up with a plan that was at one point bipartisan to create an emergency fund of insulin in the state that if a poor person had no other option, they could come to the state, get some insulin, and survive. For God's sakes. That we did not want to have people dying in the state of Minnesota needlessly. I mean, this is kind of no-brainer government. This is about the simplest, easiest layup a government could do, and here come the Minnesota Republicans, because not only did they gleefully omit this from the special session Health and Human Services bill, when it was they tried to add it on in the Senate, it was voted down by the Republicans. The Republicans voted it down and then said to this House that if you do not basically, if you try to add this to the House version, we will not pass the Health and Human Services bill. So the Republicans in the Senate of Minnesota were very much against trying to save poor people who need insulin. And they now that Gazelka and the rest of those jackasses have clearly gotten an earful from their constituents, because they quickly within the next few days were out saying, well, we'll bring this back at the next session. We'll bring this back. But from now until then, anyone that dies because they can't afford insulin in the state of Minnesota, well, you can hang that on the Republican Party of Minnesota, because they decided that poor people dying is not a cause worth stepping up for. You know how Christian that is, you know, because Jesus said, yeah, I try to help you, but you're poor. So what am I going to do? That's Republican Christians. It gets worse, if you can believe it. The DFL has obtained an audio of GOP Senator Karen Housley. This is the clown she ran for Senate. She claims that Alex Smith didn't need to die, that he could have called his doctor to get his $1,300 a month insulin for free. Housley cast the deciding vote against the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act. Let's play the audio if we could.
A fee for provider at the at your pharmacy. So, and Doc Jensen always says too, the most important thing is you want these people to have a relationship with their doctor, and you already can. He didn't need to die this.
So he basically, she's saying that he could have gone and he didn't need to die. Housley's claim is false. Smith passed away at the age of 26 after he lost his health insurance and was unable to afford his insulin prescription. It's difficult to understand how someone without health insurance can maintain a relationship with their doctor. Smith also didn't qualify for the program Housley referred to. Those fee-for-service programs have an income cutoff around $17,000, and Smith made $35,000. It's alarming that Housley would vote against the Alex Smith Insulin Act without understanding how the system works. So once again, she is saying that all you need to do is you need to go to your doctor, and the doctor is the one who's the bad guy when they say, I'm sorry, I can't give it to you for free. She's saying that he has a doctor. He doesn't have insurance because the cold, heartless bastards that are the Republican Party doesn't want anyone to have insurance, health insurance in this country. And on top of it, she says that he qualified for a program which he did not qualify for. There's a reason why we had the Alex Smith Insulin Act, Emergency Insulin Act, is because there are people that are falling through the cracks. And there's, you know, once again, if the cutoff for the program is $17,000, and God forbid you actually have a job and you're trying to afford life, well, but you can't afford health insurance. And I'll get to this in a second, because there's actually a completely different story which backs this up 100%. It's disgusting. DFL goes on to say Senator Karen Housley and her fellow Republicans need to stop being part of the problem when it comes to providing life and saving insulin. Karen Housley, this is Nicole Smith. One, please take the time and effort to learn about these programs offered. He did not qualify. He made too much money, and Alec did have a relationship with his doctor. Few doctors receive samples from pharma because the product is so expensive and they just don't give it away. It's time to elect officials, in referring to Karen Housley, it's time to elect officials to stop placing blame on others and victims and start working for the people to help create solutions. And once again, we're talking about, in my mind, government, the most basic form of government is either natural disaster emergency relief. Oh, a tornado hit your house? You don't have anything left? Okay, the government will come be here to help. Or, hey, we have this unique situation where people are dying due really to no fault of their own. We need to step in and do something. Oh, okay. How much will it cost? A few $100,000? Okay, fine. We can make that happen. And the Republicans are at the point where they're refusing to even do that now. They're just refusing to even do that. Aaron Murphy chimed in, blaming Alex Smith for his own death is the cruelest form of political deflection. Insulin costs too much in America. Healthcare is broken in America. That's what needs fixing. It isn't clear. If it isn't clear, you should consider a different line of work, Karen. Lori Halverson, let's be crystal clear. It's not Alex's fault. There is no program in place. We are not these people. We work to assess off every day managing diabetes. Corporate greed is deadly. Pass the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act. And once again, the Republicans had a chance last second to add that to the special session Health and Human Services bill, and they voted it down. And not only did they vote it down, they told the House, if you add this, we will not even pass this bill. This is on the Republican Party. And Karen Housley, you suck. You suck. And your husband, Phil Housley, sucks too. By the way, I haven't mentioned that in a while. How do you miss a 5-foot wide open net, dude? Clanked it off the pipe. Dear God, man. Karen, you suck. You're a horrible human being. And by the way, direct to Karen Housley. And make sure she hears this. You suck at being Christian. You are a horrible, horrible Christian being person. You don't even know what's in your damn Bible, for God's sakes. You know, when it came to Lazarus, Jesus didn't go, you know, Lazarus should have talked to his doctor, you know, and the doctor would have. How do you expect me to help Lazarus if, you know, the doctor didn't help him? Come on. You suck at being Christian. You are horrible, horrible, horrible Christians. You really are. You're god-awful horrible Christians. And you guys in your pathetic ways, and like I said, I have zero doubt you guys are getting a lot of grief, but there comes a point where you guys just need to shut up, and maybe, just maybe, you should ask the governor, would you be willing to consider a special session, a one-day special session, where we'll bring up this bill, we'll pass this bill, and we'll recess and get out of there? Because we made a mistake. Unfortunately, these clowns cannot do that. And, you know, they keep thinking that they can win this fight. They keep winning. Oh, well, we're going to, you know, this is the doctor's fault. It was the Democrats didn't put it on the spreadsheet. No, you had a chance to put it on the bill, and you voted it down. And then said, don't add this or we'll vote down the bill from the House. Nope, this is on you, Republicans. And anyone that dies, any poor person that dies, because they can't afford the health care in this country because of you guys, because you have done this to them. Anyone that dies is on your heads. It's on your heads. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. We've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. It's not too late to pick up plants and flowers. Also, fresh at the market is asparagus, rhubarb, and green onions. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
I'm Candy Braffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
By the way, Karen Housley is just your standard Republican. She believes the crap she makes up in her mind, and then at no point does she actually research to see if it's right. She just goes with it. I mean, that when she's out there, you catch her on tape making the statement that that his doctor could have given it to him for free, which, no, that's not how doctors work. And considering he lost his health insurance, he didn't really have a doctor at that point because thanks Republican policies. And then when you say, well, there's this other program in place. What she's really saying is, here come these libtards and they're making out this new program. It's unnecessary. Blah, blah, blah. No, the reason why the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act existed was because there was a definitive need. That if you make too much to qualify for that $17,000 or less program, which once again, that's in that you guys all need to get jobs. I mean, he's making $35,000 a year and he can't afford medicine. At what point does that never cross your mind that that could be the problem? That the health care in this country is so goddamn expensive that it's impossible for you guys to comprehend that. How is it even possible? But yet doesn't stop them because there was an insulin tree in his backyard. He could have just gone and picked a vial of insulin. Because they're just idiots and they're just cruel, heartless bastards. They just are. And Karen Housley, you know, she wraps herself in this suburban white woman kind of mystique. The reality is she's a jackass. She's just a jackass and she's in it for herself. And she's in it for campaign donations and lobbying gigs, and that's all she's in it for. Because you would think that even the most cold, heartless politician, if they truly were Christian, would say, you know what, I might not be for spending money, but saving people's lives is a good thing. Instead, it's, the doctor could have given it to him for free, because we're not America, apparently. Wow. 952-946-6205. Which, by the way, brings me into another story, which is unrelated, and it came to be completely separate. But this is – you want to know how much trouble we are in? This is an article from Medium. I'll post this a little bit later on. Half of Americans are effectively poor now. There are days – and this is reading from the author's point of view. There are days I feel I read dystopian statistics for a living. And then there are days when the dystopian statistics even take my jaded breath away. Here's one. 43% of American households can't afford a budget that includes housing, food, childcare, healthcare, transportation, and a cell phone. Translation, nearly half of Americans can't afford the basics of life anymore. Now, and I know that the Republicans are like, the cell phone, that's not a basic of life. Yeah, it is, actually. Nowadays, it is, because people don't have home phones anymore. What are they supposed to do, mail letters when they have to call to see if there's a package for them at the local post office? Does that take your breath? Going back to the article, does that take your breath away, too? It should, and yet it might not come as a surprise. You might know it intimately. The statistics say there's an even chance you're living it. What a grim and bizarre reality. Half of the people are effectively poor in the world's richest country. The folks that did the study call this new class of people ALICE, for asset limited, income constrained, employed, which is a very good term for them. Asset limited, income constrained, but employed. It's a sharp way to think about America collapse. Let me translate this term too. The people formerly known as the America's middle class, and that's exactly what it is. This is, you wonder where the middle class in America is going. It's this. Asset limited means that these households don't have the resources, the hard financial assets to draw down on anyone. That tallies with other research, which says the majority of Americans now have a negative net worth. In short, asset limited is a polite way of saying indebted for life with no real way of ever getting out of that trap. It's a nice way of saying broke. The second idea of the term, income constrained, American incomes haven't risen for half a century, but the cost of living has. exploded, skyrocketed, gone supernova. Healthcare and education costs didn't cost as much as a house in the 1970s or even the 1980s, and houses didn't cost more than the average person would make in their lifetime. If asset limited is a polite way of saying broke and indebted, income constrained is a polite way of saying poor. There are two basic kinds of financial poverty, after all, not having much of an income, not having any wealth saved up. Americans are poor in both ways. That's because their incomes haven't risen to allow them to save, and their debts keep mounting, which eats up their meager incomes. Hence, another shocking stat, most Americans now die in debt. I remember being in the 80s and being in a financial course about, you know, just personal finance. And the guy said to us at that point, a third of Americans don't have any money saved up for retirement. This is in the 1980s, a third of Americans. And the argument the reason he was bringing this up was he was saying to everyone in the class, start saving for college or for your retirement early and you should be fine. But back then it was a third. I just talked to my financial planner a year ago, and she says now it's two-thirds. Two-thirds of the country have zero saved for retirement. Zero. Nothing. Absolutely nothing for retirement. Nothing. Two-thirds. And basically, you know, and the statistic I saw, which is different from this one, is that most people in this country, it's like 45% of this country, do not have enough income to where if they had an emergency that was $300 or more, they would be able to cover the cost of said emergency. Nearly half. It's not a coincidence that this has happened to America in the last 40 years under conservative policies. And no, this country hasn't been liberals. No. The liberals passed the Affordable Care Act, which was an attempt to give everyone health care at a cheap rate. Outside of that, pretty much everything else that's been done in this country has been done under the thumb of the conservatives. Your education, your health care, your housing, your environment, your jobs, all of it. All policy has been run through a conservative filter, and this is the end result. You're all in debt, you all have no money, and you have jackasses like Karen Housley out there saying, well, you can just go and go find the insulin fairy and ask, make a wish with the insulin fairy. If you want to stop this, stop believing the narrative the conservatives say that somehow Democrats being in the same room as conservative is evil. You have to vote these guys out in mass. Give the Democrats a filibuster-proof 2 years. And I guarantee you, we actually had that in Minnesota. And guess what it started? It started one of the greatest economic, you know, stories of all time in this state. Absolutely. Governor Dayton and the Democrats. It was sensational. You want to do that again? Well, you got to get these Republicans out of office because the Republican Party is what's killing the middle class. And just because they've got the megaphones and the media to scream that now it's liberals. No, it's not. It's their policies. We've been under conservative policy for 40 years, and this is the end result. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Matt here from Green Home Doctors. We've just experienced the worst ice dam season in years. If you had ice dams, it is critical to fix the cause so this doesn't happen again and create damage to your ceiling, or worse. Contact Green Home Doctors to analyze your heat loss. We have specialized equipment that allows us to diagnose where the heat loss is occurring and make it possible to remedy the issue effectively. Visit greenhomedr.com. That's greenhomedr.com.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota and the vehicle which made me fall in love with Toyotas was the RAV4. Now, Toyota is just teasing me as they have an all-new, fully redesigned RAV4. It's gorgeous. A distinct exterior that pops and a refined interior which has everything you want and room to move. And the big news is the RAV4 now comes in a hybrid version. Remember, every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance. Test drive the new RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. Let's go to Jennifer in Stillwater. Jennifer wanted to chime in on Karen Housley. Thanks for holding, Jennifer. Welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I just wanted to say Karen Housley is my state senator, and it's very frustrating because she's very much like a cheerleader. When you go and try to lobby her in the legislature, she'll run at you and, you know, hug you and, oh, Jennifer, you know, and she's, and then, you know, she'll pretty much just not do anything that you want her to do. But she's so perky and friendly, you know, and people fall for that. But it's very frustrating because our Senate district is Senate District 39, and it stretches from Afton north to Forest Lake. And Forest Lake is like 100% Republican. And so it's that end of the district, and I'm stuck in the north end of Stillwater, so I'm in that District 39A. And we cannot seem to flip the district, and it's very frustrating because you've got, you know, people voting for someone who is married to a professional athlete her whole life, who was a housewife. You know, I mean, her husband is a multimillionaire athlete. He, you know, did not, this is not a normal household.
She does not she doesn't have the slightest, I mean, she just proves she has, doesn't even have the slightest clue about basic income or expenses.
Here now that, like, no one can afford. Right at the end of my driveway, the people had 1 acre lots, and now they're cutting them up into quarter acre lots, and they're selling the houses for $599,900, so $600,000. The houses are being sold for here, and they're just little, you know, like whatever, four bedroom, three bath houses. But they start at $600,000, and I'm right in the city limits of Stillwater, and I don't see how anybody, a starter family, could buy a house for $600,000 to start.
Well, and Jennifer, if you look at it through that prism, you understand Karen Housley completely. I mean, this is a person that just is geared towards the wealthiest of wealthy people. But you mentioned it earlier in your call, Forest Lake. That's not a wealthy town. There are some wealthy houses in that town, but that's a blue-collar town. That's a bedroom community for the metro area now. And the reality is the reason why, as I said, their salaries have gone down, their income has gone down, that they basically don't have any money whatsoever. What was the term they said? Asset limited, income constrained, and employed. That the, you know, basically that is because of conservative policy. But yet, because these people have brainwashed people into voting Republican and don't, well, if I vote Democrat, that means I will burn in hell. And you're like, no, that's not true. And by the way, you're burning pretty bad right now. So you might want to actually think about, you know, taking the person that's lighting you on fire and saying goodbye to them. But, you know, it's, that you have to convince, you know, show these people that the reason why we're in this situation is the Republicans. And when you have someone who's so blithely just ignorant as Karen Housley is, to sit there and say, well, he didn't need to die. He chose to. Is that what you're saying? That he chose to die. That's not on the Republicans. He chose to die. What kind of jackass are you? Seriously. And by the way, stop saying you're Christian. Stop saying you're Christian. You're ruining my religion. Jesus cries every time Karen Housley says she's Christian. For God's sake, stop it. Stop it. I'm a Catholic. And I guarantee you this, no, you know, person from the Bible would be for anything that the Republicans are doing today. Dear Lord. Dear Lord. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Two local stories I want to touch on here. Minnesota Court of Appeals reversed a ruling by Minnesota utility regulators on the environmental impact statement for Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline, throwing a new uncertainty into the controversial project. The court ruled Monday that a statement was inadequate because it didn't address the potential impact of an oil spill into Lake Superior watershed. The decision to omit this issue was arbitrary and capricious, the appeals court ruled. The court, acting on appeals from two environmental groups and three American Indian tribes, remanded the adequacy decision back to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, and it would appear the Minnesota Department of Commerce, which conducted the environmental impact statement for EIS. Redoing even a small part of the EIS could take months, raising more questions about the schedule for Line 3. While the PUC's granting of a certificate of need to Enbridge last year is a key regulatory approval, the company still needs several other state permits and the blessing of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Those permitting decisions aren't expected until November at earliest. Enbridge says it was disappointed the appellate court's decision, noted that Line 3, the PUC unanimously approved the most extensive environmental study of a pipeline project in state history. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. And I want to actually talk to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. How did you sign off on an environmental review of a pipeline that's going to run to Lake Superior without seeing the environmental impact of what said pipeline would do to Lake Superior? You would think to yourself, that would be a basic parameter of said environmental review. I mean, do you see? We're not talking like some drainage ditch here or some secondary tiny lake or some small little creek that, you know, it doesn't really have too much flow. We're talking about Lake Superior. How in the world did the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission sign off on any environmental review that did not have that in there? Seriously, I want to know how you guys, what are you talking about that wasn't in there? I mean, okay, you may be for the pipeline, you may be against the pipeline, but if you're going to do an environmental review of the impact of said pipeline to the environment, you would actually want to have all the environmental zones checked off. And Lake Superior is a pretty substantial environmental zone. And you guys didn't think you were going to need that? Enbridge, I can understand you're upset, but this, in my mind, falls far more on the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission for not looking at you back when you first submitted this and saying, well, we're going to need it, what the environmental impact would be to the Lake Superior Watershed District. We'll need to see that, because then they wouldn't have gotten your hopes up. But the reality is, you should be doing this. And don't give me this, it's the most thorough investigation. You didn't do Lake Superior, for God's sakes, you idiots. That's the large part of body of water. For God's sakes, I would make an argument. You know, you're going to cross the Mississippi. That's a pretty big one. So you got to imagine the Mississippi River watershed is part of that. But Lake Superior? How many major cities are on the Great Lakes of the United States? What would a massive oil spill into the Great Lakes look like? Yeah, you guys need to do that. And so you saying you did an extensive job, nah, you did an incomplete job. That's what you did. And you know, I know that there are some people who go out there and they'll get upset. It's like, well, you know, do they have to do every drainage ditch? Well, yeah, they do. But this isn't a drainage ditch. This is Lake Superior, for God's sakes. I'm flabbergasted that somehow that initial review got past the Public Utilities Commission. I also want to mention this story. This is just god-awful. City Pages had this one. Abby Rudolph, 19, was arrested for shoplifting in 2016. Shoplifting. Who could have possibly imagined such a minor happening was a death sentence for Rudolph, a resident of Moorhead and described as an online obituary as artistic and creative with blue eyes that smiled and lit up the room. Abby had developed a drug addiction after suffering a hip injury, per the story by the Forum News Service, which details the grim aftermath of Rudolph's arrest the day before Halloween. Picked up for theft, Rudolph went into withdrawal while in the Clay County Jail. Rudolph's condition soon took a turn for the worst, as noticed by other inmates, who, according to a lawsuit filed for Rudolph by Rudolph's family, asked jail staff to do something for the teenager. Rudolph, who had been in jail for just one day, when people wrote a note to her jailer, the people that wrote a note to her jailer saying she wasn't doing well. And yet it was several days later, as Rudolph refused food, threw up, and grew weaker, that an employee and a nurse noted that Rudolph appeared sluggish and was cool to the touch, the Herald reports. That was the beginning of the end for Abby Rudolph, a user of pain pills and on at least one occasion a shoplifter. A search of Minnesota court records doesn't indicate Rudolph had any other arrests on her record. Rudolph was taken to the jail's shower, but had by that time lost control of her body, which jerked sporadically and was catatonic, her family lawsuit states. Medics arrived, but it was too late. Rudolph was declared dead in the afternoon of November 3rd, fully 4 days after fellow arrestees told the jail this young woman had just met needed help. She died of bronchopneumonia, according to the death certificate, which the Herald characterizes this way. The certificate lists the manner of Rudolph's death as natural and indicates neither injury or trauma contributed to her death. They bring up the City Pages, brings up the cool to the touch. Who's cool to the touch? That's not natural. In a shocking turn of events, a subsequent Minnesota Department of Corrections investigation determined no one did anything wrong. Wow, because apparently people just die all the time in the Clay County Jail. Nothing, no one did anything wrong. The inmates brought this to their attention, that she was not doing well. And I guarantee you, in those 4 days between the inmates telling her, hey, by the way, this girl's not doing too well, and the day she died, I guarantee you she wasn't up doing jumping jacks in her cell. They didn't look at her. They didn't check on her. Clearly. Rudolph's treatment was not just compassionate, but very compassionate, the report states. The staff acted not just professionally, but very professionally. Very compassionate and very professionally do not lead to a dead kid, all right? A small amount of retraining is in order, that report determined, but there is evidently not much more that could have been done in the 100 or so hours between the time wardens got the note about Rudolph and the moment she died in the parking lot outside the Clay County Jail, nothing at all. If this feels like a gut punch, here's a couple of paragraphs to make sure that you get a little more rage. Rudolph's mother, Jill Rudolph, who filed the wrongful death lawsuit in early 2018, died in December of 2018 at the age of 52. In an interview, Craig Kassler, who said it's believed his sister, Abby's mother, likely died of medical condition after lying down to take a nap, but he suspects there was no more to that. She died of grief. She could not go on, said Kassler, who feels his sister simply could not endure another Christmas without Abby. Wow. Maybe we're just biased because we care about people more than property, but if you ask us, there are worse sins than shoplifting, like letting someone die. How in the world does – I mean, okay, you have a dead person here, a dead person that was arrested for shoplifting, who the rest of the inmates – who I'm going to presume are not exactly medical professionals in the jail, but even they could see something is really wrong here. And granted – I get where you'd say, well, you're jail people, you're prisoners, we're not going to listen to you. Well, the only way that would come back to bite you in the ass is, oh, I don't know, if she died 4 days later. And she died 4 days later. And so what ends up happening is you get a case where that warning was legit. regardless of whether they wanted to believe it or not, they think it was faking. But the reality is how does no one notice a person dying for 4 days in their jail? You guys didn't look. Very compassionate, very professional. Bull. You guys wrote the report to cover your asses. And that's all you did. You're covering your butts now because you didn't take care of the prisoners. And this girl is dead. And by the way, it sounds like a simple call to a doctor to get a prescription for a girl going through withdrawal would have probably saved this girl's life. But you couldn't do it because you were too busy being very compassionate and very professional. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need, but you won't get from anywhere else. Join me for the Bradcast with Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Right here, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Homelessness. It's a problem in Carver County and every county in the United States. We need every kind of affordable housing, but especially for single young people who are trying to launch themselves. Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska is hosting a Tuesday dialogue, June 11th, about Launch Ministry, a successful program that is making affordable housing happen for the young people who are experiencing homelessness in Chaska. The speakers are Corey Magstead, Executive Director, and Amanda Flowers Peterson, Program Director. The City of Chaska has approved their plans for a 16-unit building of supportive housing. Come hear them talk about what that means and get answers to your questions. I'll be your host, Reverend Dean J. Seal. Again, that's Tuesday, June 11th at 7 p.m. Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska is at 145 Engler Road and Highway 41 with the big red chair. Free coffee. Find us on Facebook or ChaskaChurch.org. Be there. Aloha.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. By the way, eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week, Burger Mo's. Stop on by. 20 fresh, never frozen varieties of great burgers there. All sorts of other great items on the menu as well. 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Plenty of free parking. BurgerMo's.com for more information. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Tom is in Forest Lake. Welcome on in, Tom.
Hi there. Yeah, I can't imagine the mother's grief of going through a child dying in jail, but you know, I kind of have to wonder how anybody could expect any real government like that to be merciful or compassionate. People don't get that, and I don't understand how you can get that. I hear like the PUC messing up. There's nobody that's responsible. You can't go after people like that. Nobody that would be responsible for that girl's death is going to pay any price for it. And that's what the shame put it in government's hands.
They'll pay a price for it, but it'll be a civil trial as opposed to a criminal trial. And the civil trial will, I guarantee you, my guess is the Clay County court system and jail system is probably frantically trying to figure out what number do they have to throw at this family to make this go away. And that's what happens is that, you know, and you want to know the truth is we used to have some level of accountability. But, you know, now it's holding people accountable is something that is considered persona non grata because – and this kind of goes back to what the Republicans – we were talking about with the Republicans and the Rebecca Otto when they went after the auditor's office. You know, they don't want accountability. They don't – they just want money to be thrown around and then when the Northland gets polluted or a kid dies in the Clay County Jail or a massive environmental toxic spill happens or, you know, insulin doesn't get passed. They shrug their shoulders and say, what you going to do? Well, hold the people accountable. And, you know, I think we're getting I honestly think that we're starting to get a fatal case of Stockholm syndrome in this country. I really do. I'm not going to disagree with what the caller just said. It's just we used to. And for God's sakes, we should start, holding these people accountable. The Pentagon has delivered a stark warning against the White House. The military will not be politicized as following the administration's efforts to hide the USS John McCain during President Trump's trip to Japan. First of all, kudos to the British who are broadcasting an image of a hat with the USS John McCain on it right by his hotel room. the Brits are trolling Trump. On Parliament, they're running the approval numbers, current UK approval numbers. Obama's 72%, Trump 21%. Oh. They're trolling him pretty big over there. In case you missed this story, Donald Trump, who's going to have his boo-boo feelings hurt. Oh, no, not his boo-boo feelings. Donald Trump had asked someone from his advance team, the White House's advance team, had asked the Navy to take the USS John McCain out of port while Trump was in Japan because, God forbid, he sees that USS Trump in there, or USS John McCain. He hated that guy. It came to light, and by the way, the Navy at the end of the day said, no, we're not going to move this. And the Navy was then must have been under orders to lie because they initially said, no, we were never told by the White House to move the USS John McCain. But then emails came across. I think it was the Wall Street Journal was the first one that had the emails. And the Wall Street Journal came on out and said, yeah, well, no, we have the email saying that the Trump advance team was asking you to move the USS John McCain or at least cover up the name, which they refused to do, and good for them. It's a shame, though, that this stance was not achieved, say, 20 years ago. Because 20 years ago, when the Republicans started using the military as a prop for elections after 9/11, they basically did not care at all about the troops or the soldiers or anything like that. There was nothing that they were going to do for the soldiers outside of say, we love you as we send you into an unnecessary war. They don't give them the health care they need. They don't give them the education they need. They still don't today. And as a matter of fact, there's another fantastic story I was alerted to today that was out of military.com. Right at Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio apparently has been devastated by natural disasters. Guess where most of the money to go fix it and clean it up went? A national emergency for the border. They can't even get these military bases, the family housing on these military bases, they can't even get it fixed after natural disasters because Trump has pulled all that money away. They don't care about the troops. And I'm glad the Pentagon is finally saying this. But for God's sakes, back when they were clearly using you as a prop and clearly using you as something to use against America, I'll never forget Tim Pawlenty actually coming out and saying, I don't know how you can support the troops unless you support George W. Bush because he's the head of the troops. But I remember Tim Pawlenty never said the same thing about Barack Obama. No, the Pentagon, good for you to stand up to Trump, but for God's sakes, you're 20 years too late. The military is not a Republican outfit. It is an American outfit. We need to remember that. Back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.